My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Most listeners to OM Times Radio practice yoga. Many of our listeners practice some form of energy work or magic. Have you ever thought about practicing them both together? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Casey Giovinco, chief elder of the Gala witchcraft tradition, has been combining yoga and witchcraft for more than 20 years. Casey holds an RYT 200 certification from the Yoga Alliance, teaches yoga, reads tarot, and works as a witch in residence at a holistic center. His website is caseygiovinco.com, and he joins me this week to share his path and new book, Magic from the Mat, Using Yoga to Enhance Your Witchcraft. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Casey Giovinco. Welcome, Casey.
Thank you very much, Victor.
And thank you for joining us and sharing your path. So please share with our listeners how it led you to both yoga and witchcraft.
So, okay, great question. I was in high school and I had already started to read books on witchcraft. My mom was really supportive of it and she would take me to buy spell supplies and other things. So witchcraft was kind of something I started really early in life because other kids were picking on me and I needed to feel a sense of empowerment. They were picking on me because I presented as gay and, you know, kids in small town were kind of cruel about that. But witchcraft gave me a really wonderful way to feel self-confidence, right? To cast spells for things that I wasn't able to get on a mundane level. And I was really lucky to have a supportive mother who, her only requirement of me was, don't conjure any spirits you can't get rid of. And I was like, okay, I won't. But as I got a little older and I moved into high school, one of the things that my mom sat me down about, and she said, look, we've moved you from the public school to this smaller private school where you're going to be safe, but we need to talk a little bit about how sensitive you are. I said, okay. She said, you need to be willing to show that you're tough. Like, join a sports team, do something that like builds bonds of brotherhood and camaraderie. Do something that like shows them who you are outside of a social interaction. And I said, okay. But I never really took her up on it until I was in, you know, they did presidential fitness testing. So I was in gym class and they were doing presidential fitness testing and I scored off the charts. And my gym teacher said, why don't you consider joining the wrestling team? I was like, oh no, I couldn't do that. She said, no, you really ought to consider it. The wrestling team needs wrestlers and you've got natural strength and natural flexibility. You should absolutely do this. And so without my consent, she went and talked to the wrestling coach who sent the captains of the wrestling team to recruit me. So when I went home, I told my mom, well, I joined the wrestling team, so you're going to have to pick me up a little later than normal. And she goes, what? I joined the wrestling team like you told me. She goes, I did not tell you to join the wrestling team. Like, she had more of a problem with wrestling than she did with witchcraft. And so I was like, no, you did. You told me I needed to join a sports team. So I did it. She goes, right. But I figured like cross country or like soccer or maybe get involved in the play or something. I'm like, that's not a sport. So she kind of laughed and she goes, okay, look, here's the deal. If you're going to wrestle, I have one major requirement that you can't break and I have a request. I said, okay, what's the requirement? She said, you're never allowed to drop weight in order to support the team. You can gain weight and you can lose weight progressively over time, but you are not allowed to drop weight to make a match happen. I said, okay, deal. She went in, she talked to the coach, she made sure he was on board with that too. And then the other, her request was, I want you to start working out with weights and doing yoga. I'm like, okay, sure. So I got into a yoga practice and I really enjoyed it. And I loved working out at the gym, and I was noticing how yoga and working out at the gym were really kind of complementing each other and making my wrestling even better. And initially that's all it ever was to me. It was like another form of physical exercise. But years later, like probably 15 years later, I started my training in a local coven in order to become an initiated witch. And all of my like psychic training, all of my meditation stuff, all of the like visualizations or anything that like the background mechanics that make the spells and the rituals work reminded me of yoga. And like, it was a very difficult thing for me to navigate initially, because I had this moment of doubt and I was like, oh no, this can't be right. Like there's gotta be some mystic thing I'm not aware of here. And so it was really hard for me to tap into the magic or the power initially while I was training as a witch. And it wasn't until about halfway through my training that somebody sat me down and really kind of navigated it with me and was like, no, this thing you're talking about is absolutely how it works for me. We just talk about it different.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to realize, oh my God, my yoga training has prepared me to be a really good witch. Mm-hmm. And the moment I made the connection between physical energy, like I have enough energy to go to the gym, or my yoga practice released some energy, or I have enough energy to do a Ashtanga yoga class. The moment that I made that comparison between the physical energy and the energy I was manipulating as a witch, everything opened up in my path.
Is the combination of yoga and witchcraft relatively new, or something that has evolved over the centuries?
I don't know. The yoga and witchcraft combination that I put into Magic from the Mat is absolutely my interpretation of this stuff. But as I look back on theosophy, it's very clear that yoga has influenced witchcraft for the better part of a century. Even things like the chakras come from the Vedic texts and yoga. They're different in yoga than we present them in the New Age community, but they're still connected, right? And so I think yoga has been influencing witchcraft in a very passive way for a long time, but this idea of using yoga to enhance your witchcraft, like Magic from the Mat is talking about, that seems to be something people are only cottoning on to within the last like 10 years. I know there are about 3 books on the market right now, mine being one of them, that is specifically talking about this topic. And I don't know that it was there before that.
When we hear the word yoga, many immediately think of hatha yoga, the physical practice. But there's a much deeper metaphysical practice behind it, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. This may be a controversial opinion, but I believe that the witch is a universal archetype and that every culture has a witch. Some cultures call it a shaman, some call it a medicine man. I believe that in India and in this long tradition of yogic history, the witch in India was probably very heavily connected to yoga. If you look at some of the gurus and you look at some of the yoga practitioners from history, you start to realize that they have a lot of the same qualities around them. They're just talked about differently. So it looks very witchy all the way back. As far as being deeper and more mystical or more meaningful, hatha and asanas are only one branch or one part of a larger system that is yoga. There's one branch that's just on the breath alone. So learning how to utilize these 8 different limbs of yoga actually deepens the practice much more than just a physical exercise.
The realization of combining the two practices came to you while you were performing Savasana. Please tell us about that.
Well, like I said, I never really made the connection, right? Like I had been doing yoga for the better part of 10 years before I ever even really went for an initiation into witchcraft. And I had a regular yoga practice. I was attending classes quite often. I was comparing my notes with witchcraft and what I was doing in yoga and realizing these connections were developing. And then one day in a yoga practice, I was just laying in Shavasana, getting ready for a spell later that night. And all of my like mental plane, all of my visualizations started to really kind of coalesce around the intention for that night's spell. And my entire Shavasana was taken over with this imaginary event of what it would be like to be successful in that night's spell. And what was interesting was I started to see the signs of success even before the ritual developed. And then being rather philosophical and analytic about certain things, I started to compare days where I did magic, but I didn't do yoga, and days where I did yoga, but I didn't do magic. And then the days where I did both and it worked the same way again. And I started to realize these two things are actually really helping each other. My yoga gets better because of my witchcraft, and my witchcraft gets better because of my yoga. But I don't think I really put it all together until that day where I talked to my friend in the coven. And I was like, what are you doing when you do this? And she was very honest about it.
And what did she say to you?
She said, when I say I see the circle, I don't really see it in the physical space. It's not like there is this imaginary wall that is transparent in 3D that I can see and I know not to transgress it. I feel like it's there and I see it in my mind. And when I walk away from it, it's no longer present in my mind. And I don't feel its influence as much physically on this world or in this plane. And I said, okay, so the fact that I'm not like seeing this like overlay in the world around me doesn't mean I'm broken or not doing this right. And she goes, oh, absolutely not. I mean, I think there are times you probably will, but on a regular basis, I don't see it in the space with me all that often. I think maybe in my entire time doing it, I've seen it twice in the space. And the moment she said that to me, I was like, okay, so there's a little bit of hyperbole in the way that witches are talking about what we do. And I'm taking it very literally, and I shouldn't.
Before we go on with more from Magic from the Mat, you're a chief elder of the Gala witchcraft tradition. What is that tradition?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So Gala, it doesn't matter how it's said, right? We all talk about gala events or Gala events differently. Gala witchcraft is a tradition of witchcraft that's built off of what I was taught by my teacher and my initiator. And it is that tradition's philosophies applied to the lives of gay men and using witchcraft to help gay men overcome some of the damage done by homophobia and the isolation that happens around the gay community and all of these other places where gay men struggle in life. And so the tradition is really set up to heal the gay community and empower individual gay men. We use a very theosophical foundation built off of what is often called British traditional witchcraft or initiatory witchcraft. We recognize that we're not British traditional witchcraft, because we initiate male to male, and BTW or initiatory witchcraft only initiates cross gender. But pretty much all of our practices would be familiar to somebody who would identify as BTW or initiatory Wicca. And so what Gala does is we look back into time, we look back through history, and we look at where gay male magical practitioners and priests were instrumental in the health and the functioning of their societies, whether those be tribal or more industrial, right? I say industrial, but more what we would recognize as like urban or structured around cities and farms. And so we look back through history at places like Mesopotamia, at places like ancient Greece, or the European continent before Catholicism took over or Christianity took over. And we look at those places and we see what is similar in each of these individual places. And we try to reconstruct, reimagine what it would look like for a modern day gay priesthood to be useful to society. And then we tack that back on to the British traditional initiatory Wicca style roots that I was taught.
That is beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for the empowerment that you're offering.
Thank you.
So getting back to magic from the mat, for those contemplating, now we have a lot of listeners who do yoga, we know that. We have a lot of listeners who practice witchcraft in one form or another. For those contemplating combining them, where would you suggest they start?
Well, I would suggest you take an actual yoga class at like a local studio or a gym and try taking something you read from a book like Magic from the Mat or one of the other books from Llewellyn and apply it to your own Shavasana like I did, right? Start to see how the practice of yoga calms your body and gets it out of the way so that all those aches and pains and creaks aren't getting in the way of you actually tapping into the psychism of the magic. And then allow yourself to experiment with whatever exercise you pick out of whatever book you choose and see how they start to mesh up for you. The thing is, while I think witchcraft and yoga are intimately tied together, as I said, I think in India, the witch would have been recognized as the yogi. They're not, there's not a one-for-one translation, and there's no hard and fast path that is guaranteed to combine them for you. At the end of the day, the beauty of that is that you get to decide for yourself, okay, this is the part of yoga that's going to use my witchcraft, and this is the part of witchcraft that's going to use my yoga. One of the things that I really did later on after I started to realize the connections between yoga and witchcraft was I tried to take the opposite of that Shavasana moment you mentioned earlier and apply it to a witchcraft practice. So I went into ritual and I decided that I was going to cast my spell, whatever that spell was. I've done this a few different times, but I went into ritual and I decided I was going to cast my spell. And at the moment that the cone of power peaked, right, I gave over a breath in directing the energy to where I wanted it to go in a very pranayama style technique. And what I realized was I was so much more able to focus on the visual that I intended and to send that energy to the target. It was a really liberating moment. And I accomplished something using yoga with my witchcraft that it had taken me a very long time to do. I always struggled with, okay, now that the cone has been raised and the power is like thumping, what do I do with it? How do I send it? Do I just point my finger in a direction and say, go? What do I do? But combining in the pranayamic techniques, I was like, huh, that might work. And then I found out about all of the ways that the Western occult mystery tradition uses things like sacred breath. And again, I was reconfirmed, like, this is really valuable. These connections are really valuable. So like, I can't tell people what to do specifically to combine them, but I can say, start practicing both in a way that enriches your soul, and then look at how they're actually doing the same thing and build your practice off of those commonalities.
Absolutely. For those few who are not familiar with the yogic terms that we're speaking about, explain what Shavasana and Pranayama are.
Sure. So Shavasana is that wonderful pose at the end of a yoga sequence, right? Or just one you need to do at any old time, where you're laying with your back on the ground, your feet are on the ground, you're completely flat, your feet fall open to the side and your palms fall up to the sky, right? And then you close your eyes and you just sit there in peace and stillness. You lay there in peace and stillness, right? And it's called Shavasana because its translation is corpse pose. So you lay there like a corpse and you allow your body to become a heavy lump of flesh while your soul does whatever it needs to do, or your spirit takes flight and goes wherever it needs to go. It's actually a really useful beginning stage for something like an astral projection. The pranayama stuff is actually a whole nother branch of yoga, a whole nother limb of yoga. It is as extensive as all of the physical postures everybody is familiar with. So there are different breathing techniques to do different things. One will warm you up. One will cool you down. One raises energy. One helps you direct that energy into a different part of your body. Some of them activate different parts of your body. And so pranayama is a really interesting study that could be all of your entire yoga practice in and of itself.
Absolutely. And again, prana, pneuma, Spiri, in virtually every language, there's a word for this, and It means breath, yes, but it also means spirit.
Yes. Pranayama actually talks about that quite heavily.
And what you're describing in the work that you were doing is using the breath as a conveyance of that spirit energy.
Yes.
Absolutely. My guest, Casey Giovinco, his new book, Magic from the Mat, Using Yoga to Enhance Your Witchcraft. Casey, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you.
So you can buy the book on Amazon. It's also available through Barnes & Noble, and it is on many bookshelves throughout the nation. So you can probably find it at your local bookstore as well. As far as more about me, you can find out about me at my website, caseygiovinco.com, and my name is CaseyGiovinco.com. And then I am on all of the social media sites as The Gala Witch.
And we'll be back with more of Casey and Magic from the Mat after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Casey Giovinco. He's the author of Magic from the Mat, Using Yoga to Enhance Your Witchcraft. Are there poses or asanas that are more conducive to this work?
To the witchcraft work?
Yes.
As when I do it as a physical exercise, I love the ones that build muscle. I love the ones that do a lot of the like heat raising and help you like feel the sweat and glow after you're done. But those are valuable because they help you feel the energy, but they're not the best to do just before you're doing a ritual or during a ritual, because they actually take the energy from what you're trying to do and put it back in your body. Some of the better things to do for yourself are the basic, simple seated position and to meditate, the pranayama techniques, pretty much any of them that you're interested in. There are some that are seated poses that are really good. twists are really good because they're kind of like loosening up what's already inside of you. There are a lot of ways that you can use yoga to get ready for witchcraft and even to use it in a ritual. And when you make that choice, whichever way you're going to go, different poses are good for different things. The problem with answering the question is that there are probably like 30 poses that are good for each thing, right? Balance poses, probably not your best bet. So like tree may not be your best bet if you're balancing isn't great. But if you're really good at being balanced, tree could be really grounding. And it could be a wonderful way for you to come back down after a ritual. Now, I'm not as great with balancing poses as I am with strength poses. So like for me, tree would keep me from being grounded. And it would be better that I not try to do that after a ritual because I might fall over, right? But for people whose balance is really impeccable, tree can be incredibly grounding. Mm.
And you mentioned pranayama. I know that I use alternate nostril breathing, one of the techniques of pranayama, prior to meditation. That must be helpful too, right?
It actually is very helpful. If you're trying to, for example, do a spell that involves a lot of what people might try to call fire magic, right? Like your spell works on the element of combustion. You're going to burn something and give it over to the ether. Breathing in the element of fire through one nostril and then holding it and then doing the actual spell will make you more successful at that particular act of magic. And then when you're ready to finish the spell, you can breathe out through the other nostril and release the fire energy back into the ether.
Mm. Nice. Thank you for sharing that. You share that connecting with and balancing the five classical elements is important in your book. Please describe this practice.
Well, okay, so it's very Wicca that we're talking about this. At every circle, right, most of the time witches have the five elements in some way. They're working with the ether. Earth, water, fire, air show up in one of the four quarters more often than not. And so magic that's done on an elemental level or on the astral is very, very, very connected to these elements. And so learning to engage those elements in a real way and understand what's happening when you do that is almost foundational to most kinds of witchcraft. There are magics that happen without the elemental associations, but those tend to be much more mental plane. They tend to be much more practices of engaging deity. They tend to be more elevating the spirit out of the physical mire or out of the physical plane stuff. And they're much more internally focused. So in the beginning, the things that are most dramatic for witches tend to be the stuff that involves those elements. And I was so fascinated to find those elements so heavily influenced within yoga. Like there are practices that you can do within yoga that are connected to the water and cooling you off, right? Like yin yoga as a practice is very, very cooling. It's calming and it has all the same essential qualities that people who work with the elements associate with water.
And give us an example of earth, please.
Oh, in witchcraft or
yes,
in yoga?
In both, in using earth in yoga.
So my favorite way to work with earth magics in witchcraft, right? Or the earth element in witchcraft is hoodoo, right? As a folk American practice of witchcraft or magic, hoodoo is entirely earth-based. It focuses on the candle and the wax and anointing it. It focuses on fetish. Like when I say fetish, I mean like an object that has power, right? Like a doll or some kind of clay thing or something that you're going to bury in the earth or working with the dead in some way and graveyard dirt. But it's very, very heavily connected to this earth element. In yoga, there's a there are a bunch of practices that are incredibly grounding. One of the most grounding seems so simple, but it's any of those meditation practices where you don't move, right? Like there's a myth in yoga about the Buddha sitting under the Bodhi tree, and he stayed there for like, and I forget what exactly the number is, but it's something
40, like 40 days and nights.
Right, 40 days and nights. And he didn't move, right? Like he didn't eat, he didn't do anything, he didn't move. And he just sat with his back against this tree in a meditation pose. And so this is actually very witchy of the Buddha, because one of the things that the tradition where I was taught, one of the things they teach us is, if you want to be better at meditating, if you want to calm your mind, if you want to gain strength or health or vitality, or you just want to feel better or feel grounded, go sit out under a tree, put your back against the trunk, allow yourself to sink into the earth, and then allow the roots of the tree to bring up grounding earth energy into your body and communicate with the tree about what you want. Please help me use this energy to become healthier or stronger or whatever. And it's a very grounding practice, and it's very based in earth magic. And so the fact that that exists within one of the quintessential yoga myths is like the first place my mind goes to when you ask me about an earth magic connection.
So we discussed the five classical elements. What about the cardinal directions?
So the northwest, south, and east stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
What's funny is they're very, very important to me personally. They're not necessary in witchcraft. I know a few different witches who they don't worry about the elemental associations. They don't worry about the quarters themselves. Their circle cast is very, very simple and very, very elegant. And they do really remarkable magic. The addition of those cardinal directions, like I put in Magic from the Mat, or that are a part of my own personal practice or Gala's practice, they're just another lens to help you focus your mind, right? Like, so yoga, its original purpose was to help somebody learn to meditate. Okay, your body's in the way, let's get your body out of the way. So we're going to tire out your body so it doesn't fight you when you try to meditate. Witchcraft does something very similar, but it does it on a mental and emotional level as opposed to a physical level. And what it does is it gives you symbolism, it gives you meaning, it gives you interpretation and intention, and it asks you to streamline your thoughts around this symbolism and this meaning, and to be consistent in your symbology and your meaning, so that you never have to think about it again, and you can just slip into the state you want to be in, that ecstatic, revelatory moment, so that you can tap the ether and do the magic you need to do.
Prior to taking yoga classes in the 1980s, I was not familiar with the chakra system. How do we bring the chakras into the practice?
I think there are a ton of ways to do that. There's the most traditional Western way, right? Like the root chakra is red and the heart chakra is green with a pink center. There's all of these really wonderful stories that we tell ourselves. There's all these really wonderful methods that we use within the modern New Age community. But there are some really interesting older Vedic interpretations of the chakras that are actually really liberating. So for example, a chakra doesn't exist in a specific spot, right? They are an astral thing and they get built up around thought. So when you think about a chakra in a spot, it's in that spot. The original stuff really didn't identify how many chakras there were. As the concept evolved, it grew into however many you needed. From that, it grew into three, then it grew into seven. And there's a really interesting history that happens over that progression over time. As far as witchcraft goes, I think that utilizing the chakras is a very useful tool for helping people new to witchcraft learn how to control their power, or focus their intention on a specific part of their body so that they can become more powerful in a moment. So like, for example, do you point your finger, right? Like I was joking about that earlier, but there are some times that in a spell you do point your finger. Well, at the end of your finger is a chakra. So if you focus on that chakra and then you point at your talisman or your fetish or your whatever you're going to be utilizing, if you point at that and you focus on that chakra, the energy just flows into it. And then it is imbued with your intention. So there's a lot of ways to utilize the chakras, both in witchcraft and in yoga. In yoga, oftentimes the chakras are very useful in helping you to prevent your mind from getting distracted. So you're doing a specific pose and you need to make sure that your posture is correct. If you focus on the chakra and you use your musculature around that chakra, you will actually form better posture. So for example, there are the things called the bandhas, and one of them has you pull your belly button in towards your spine and up towards your heart. That locks in both the navel and the sacral chakras. So if you are struggling to keep that bandha locked, you can see those two chakras glowing brighter in your navel, in your belly, and it'll help you keep that lock so that your posture stays better.
Absolutely. As you share in Magic from the Mat, meditation is integral to both the practice of yoga and witchcraft. What wisdom do you share with those who say they can't meditate?
Okay, you can. You absolutely can. I promise you, you can. I think that what we get stuck on is meditation has to look like something I would do in a Tibetan monastery. That doesn't have to be meditation. Meditation can be your morning cup of coffee where you put your phone away, you go outside on your front porch, no electronics, you're not talking to anybody, and you're just enjoying your coffee while you're listening to the birds. That can be meditation. Meditation can also be your evening bath, right? You're sitting in that warm water, feeling it on your skin. And you're just present in that moment. You don't even have to close your eyes. You don't have to stop the thoughts. You can just be present in that moment, observing your thoughts, and that's still meditation.
Absolutely. I practice meditation while I'm washing dishes.
I wish I did.
Because I'm one with the sink and the dishes, and that's all I'm thinking about is getting those dishes clean without distraction. So that's one of my daily meditations.
That's actually a really good way to start meditating. And it's a really good practice to keep meditating, because we always make these excuses for ourselves, don't we? Like, oh, I've got the dishes or the laundry or the whatever my partner put on the honey-do list, right? That's a great way to get around that.
Being mindful of whatever the activity is a form of meditation. So anybody who says they can't meditate, you're doing it already. You just don't realize it. So.
You're meditating while not meditating.
That's right. You're meditating while not meditating. You're anti-meditating, I guess. Are there specific meditations for the combined practice of yoga and witchcraft?
If I were to say yes, I'd be lying. There are meditations that I think you can repurpose in either tradition, but I think I would be lynched by all of the really traditional yogis if I said yes. And I'm just not willing to say that, but I think you will find a lot of similarities in the way that yoga meditation happens and the way that witchcraft approaches meditation. I don't think there's one where they're going to directly overlap, and both sides are going to agree with me.
Absolutely. My guest is Casey Giovinco. His book is called Magic from the Mat, Using Yoga to Enhance Your Witchcraft. We'll be back with more of Casey after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The cutting edge of conscious radio. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Learn more at She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Casey Giovinco, his book, Magic from the Mat, Using Yoga to Enhance Your Witchcraft. Casey, I know that when I started practicing yoga in the 1980s, it helped to sort of reopen my subtle senses. In other words, my psychic, if you want to use the word psychic, abilities were enhanced when I started practicing yoga. Is there a psychic or subtle energy aspect to the combined practice of yoga and witchcraft?
Yeah, well, okay. So both practices have psychic phenomenon inherent in their practices. I have started to make a correlation between what witches talk about as our powers and what yoga talks about as the powers that can come from a yoga practice. Those powers in yoga are called the siddhis. And in witchcraft, we just tend to talk about them as like clairsenses or psychic powers or whatever you want to call them. There is a lot of really interesting material in both traditions that if you compare them, it looks identical. Like becoming bigger than the biggest is one of the cities. Well, when I do an LBRP as a witch, one of the ideas that I have to hold in my head, one of the visualizations that I have, is I have to become bigger than the biggest. I have to become bigger than the earth. I am standing on Malkuth. Right? I have to become bigger than everything that's here and look out into the cosmos as the angels gather around. And so I started to look at this and I was like, that's fascinating, that these same powers are showing up over and over and over again as you compare these two traditions. But because they were separated by continents and oceans, all they are is similarities. There's no cohesion to it. I'm really careful in Magic from the Mat not to try to combine yoga and witchcraft, because I really think it would be offensive to yogis, because you have to keep in mind that that's really connected to almost any religion, but it started with Hinduism, and Hinduism has its own taboos and its own structure and its own things that it accepts and does not. And I love yoga so much, I've never wanted to offend anybody with it. So I've always just kind of looked at them as correlations that enhance each other, and seeing how my witchcraft was benefited by my yoga. But I think somebody could technically decide that they wanted to merge them together and be like a yoga witch and really come up with a rather interesting personal practice for themselves.
In Magic from the Mat, you actually give exercises for activating the clairs. You want to give us an example of one, please?
Oh, gosh. Well, sure. Do you have a clair you like?
Well, I'm an A clair. I'm clairaudient, clairsentient, clairvoyant. I have them all, so I call myself an A clair, but your choice.
Well, so I'm clairsentient, right? Like my major one was clairsentience. And in the beginning, that was really hard for me, you know, because I really struggled with how wonderful my clairsentience was, but it also silenced all of the others. And so if I wanted to activate, I don't know, let's talk about the clairsentience, right? Let's assume I wasn't actually clairsentient and I wanted to activate that. And I actually had to do this for myself because I had to start with my strongest suit and then work my way back to my weakest. And for me, the weakest was clairvoyance. I actually could smell and taste astrally or psychically better than I could see. And so clairvoyance for me was the last one I tried. But like one of the exercises that I mentioned in Magic from the Mat for doing this is to go into child's pose, right? And to focus on softening the heart. And then while you're in child's pose, just resting there for a little bit, close your eyes. There's this weird thing that happens, and I don't know why it happens, but it's a thing that even psychology has started to realize. If you close your eyes for 2 minutes, you shift from your normal mundane consciousness into an alpha state. And that alpha state is where most of the psychic events happen. So simply by just resting there with your head on the floor in child's pose and with your eyes closed, you start to activate the psychic senses, all of the psychic senses. But because you're now focusing on the chakra that's in your heart and you're softening it, you're opening that center up. This is where the chakras become valuable again, right? You're opening that center up. And you're allowing the energy that's around you, the ambient energy, to kind of enter into your heart. And you're starting to feel things that you're not controlling, and you begin to recognize them. So the things that are really happening in that exercise are, it's a simple, passive, easy to do exercise that allows you to let go of your conscious preconceived notions and to be receptive to whatever is going to come to you.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Are there yoga covens, or is this a solitary practice, or both?
So I don't know of any yoga covens. I'm not going to say there aren't any. I will tell you that a lot of people in Gala have decided that they really love how yoga is helping them. That does not make Gala a yoga coven, like a yoga tradition or a yoga coven, but they really have gotten involved in some of my witches in Gala have really gotten involved in appreciating yoga as a part of their practice. I'm sure there could be a yoga coven. For me, it's always been a very personal part of my own, what I call hedge witch path. And then it impacts and influences my coven experience.
Please share with us about the Espot.
oh yeah, what would you like to know? There's a lot.
A couple of an elevator speech.
a 30-second pitch on an Esbat.
Yep.
All right. So in witchcraft, you have the Sabbats and you have the Esbats. And some traditions do 8 Sabbats and some do 4. The older traditions generally tended to do 4. The cross-quarter Sabbats were added in later. So the Sabbats were a place where you could recharge your energy. You got connected to the cycles of nature. Whatever you were feeling run down, you got to like imbibe that energy and participate in something that was uplifting and joyous. And it recharged you for the coming season. The Esbats are where the work is done. So Esbats are a very working ritual where magic is done, spells are cast. And so what you're doing is constantly recharging your battery with the Sabbat and then constantly using your energy with the Esbats. But if you maintain these practices in cohesion with each other over time, you are constantly filling your battery up more than you are depleting it. And so over time, you grow healthier, you grow stronger, you grow younger, you grow more powerful.
Thank you for sharing that. Many are familiar with traditions that embrace the wheel of the year. Is there a wheel of the year in your practice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I absolutely follow the wheel of the year. So I just recently wrote a course on gay witchcraft and I mean, it's useful to anybody, but I wrote it specifically so people who were interested in Gala could learn about us. It's called Uncrossing Your Roads. And I give 4 seasonal rites that are very connected to the gay male witch's experience as he goes through the wheel of the year. And the reason I chose those 4 rites was because in Gala, we have 4 first degree rites, which are the ones that are on Crossing Your Roads. I opened them up to the general public. And then we have 4 private coven-based rites that are only done by initiated members. And what it does is it allows a first degree, a second degree, an initiated Gala witch to have the full 8 Sabbats. But it also allows new witches who are just kind of experimenting with whether this is the right path for them or not to have 4 really, really powerful Sabbats that will help them get a feel for what they're doing. They don't have to do a lot of like mechanical work in between those Sabbats. They get a peace and quiet and respite during those Sabbats. And it's not taking away from too much of their daily life, but it's still enriching their soul. It's still enriching their practice. And it's helping them to grow beyond where they are into whatever practice they actually want to do. So yeah, I absolutely do the Sabbath.
You advocate training body, mind, and spirit. Is that combination lacking in many lives today?
Well, I'm a little biased. So I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a personal trainer. I'm a witch, right? And I really loved the hermetic stuff by Franz Barden. And so I really bought into, you've got to train your body, your mind, and your spirit together. I'm kind of biased. And I don't think any of us, me included, are doing enough of that. But it's interesting where people put their focus, right? It's interesting where people choose their body over their spirit or their spirit over their body. And I would say that each of us has to cross that path our own way. What's interesting is a lot of people who most people would think are just ignoring the body entirely are merely focused on a different way to take care of it. For example, I have a friend who's a witch and he's not at all interested in any of my physical fitness stuff, but he goes, I love that you give me permission to eat badly because my body needs to have these good foods most of the time, but sometimes it's really enriching for my body. The joy that I get from like a Twinkie releases endorphins in me that I don't know how to release without that. So like knowing you, Casey, I've started to look at how I eat my food and I'm eating junk food less, but when I do it, it's intentional and it has a purpose to help me evolve my practice. So I don't know that I wouldn't qualify that as including the body in the body, mind, and spirit, or the body, soul, and spirit combination. I think he's just doing it differently than I do.
Thank you for sharing that. I think that's really important. You know, and giving people the flexibility to approach each of these aspects, I think, is will encourage them, as in this case, to practice the other aspects too. So thank you for sharing that. My guest, Casey Giovinco, his book is called Magic from the Mat, Using Yoga to Enhance Your Witchcraft. Casey, please tell our listeners one more time where they can get your book and find out more about you.
Wonderful. So you guys can get my book on Amazon or at local bookstores. It's available on pretty much any website you want to go to. You can find out more about me at my website, which is caseygiovinco.com. Again, that is caseygiovinco.com. And on social media, I am The Gala Witch.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.